Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Well, the NFL draft now just 16 days away. Here's the first round draft order, starting with the Bengals at 1 and anchored by the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs at 32. And we're glad to have you, for you've got Mel and Todd. And here they are, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. And we want to know your questions as well. We'll take them over the next hour. So use the hashtag AskMelAndTodd, and we will hopefully read your question on the air. And we will start off where else but the top of the draft with a question from Colby Covington. This comes via Twitter. Why does the mainstream media hate the idea of Joe Burrow to the Bengals? They clearly have a better roster on offense than does Miami. Mel, you first on Joe Burrow as a fit with the Bengals team coming off a 2-14 season.
Yeah, I don't get it, Wendy. I have been saying this for months. I mean, the Bengals have been to two Super Bowls with Kenny Anderson and Boomer Esiason, and they had success with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. And this notion that the Bengals have never won, never had successful quarterbacks, is utterly ridiculous, and it's not factual. Four teams haven't been to Super Bowls. Nobody talks about them. They talk about the Bengals like they've been one of those perennial losers. That's not been the case. There's skill talent there for a quarterback. There's an opportunity for Joe Burrow to be what Kenny Anderson and Boomer Esiason was with the Bengals. Like I said, I don't understand why the noise is there, but it's inaccurate noise.
No, I love it. I love the Kenny Anderson. I love the fact that you're jumping in with the history of it. They're going to take Joe Burrow number one. If the only, like, 5% chance of anything happening at number one is going to be them making a trade to move back with Miami. Miami's got 3 first-round picks, 5 picks in the first 2 rounds, and 6 picks in the top 70 overall. I don't think that they're going to be able to make a move. I think since he's going to sit there at number one, and they're going to take Joe Burrow. But the only thing that could happen is that Miami tries to make a play to get up to that number one spot. But again, I think it's a 95% chance at least that since he's just going to sit there and do the right thing and take Joe Burrow, the best quarterback in this class and probably the second best overall player in this class.
All right, fellas, let's move to the number 2 overall pick. A question from David Robbins. I know there are no sure bets in any draft. The team in Washington sure needs to find one. Chase Young sure seems like one over Tua. Todd, your thoughts?
I mean, if you throw the quarterbacks out, the best player in this draft is Chase Young. I mean, he is clearly the best talent. 16 and a half sacks, led the FBS last year. 6 of those were strip sacks, so he's getting the ball back to you offensively. I think Washington holds tight at number 2. Everyone's talking now about the potential of them moving out. What they're doing, Wendy, is they're trying to get other teams to come up and give them a ridiculous deal because they know that Detroit is going to take a deal at number 3. So what Washington's trying to do is get 4 or 5 picks to move back and still maybe get Chase. But I think ultimately, Mel, you're going to wind up seeing Chase Young as the 2nd overall player in this year's draft.
Yeah, the process complicated it, the lack of the normal process. And Tua, with the injuries, would they move up to get a quarterback who you haven't had that personal situation with your doctor, your medical staff, and that kind of intention, the detail you need to make that bold move up and give up draft picks? Todd, they haven't had that opportunity. And the Redskins are at 2. They might have considered Tua had he been clean through the process and not had those 3 lower extremity injuries. So I think the Tua injury prevents the trade and prevents the Redskins from taking Tua. Thus, they take the best player on the board at that point, which is Chase Young.
There are really so many unique circumstances to this draft in particular. And, Mel, let's move now to a question from John Gillenwater. Is it possible the Lions would be a player for a quarterback at the number 3 spot?
Well, John, they would be. And I think for what the question is, who would they take if they were stuck at 3? You got to take a corner. They got to get some players who can cover. They traded Darius Slay. They've made moves. This is a team that's brought in a lot of guys from free agency. I think what Matt Patricia needs to do is start winning football games, get guys who can cover, be the Stephon Gilmore of this defense. That's what I think Jeff Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State, can be. If you have an opportunity to move down, take it. But if you're stuck at 3, you got to make a pick. And Okuda, Todd, would be the guy to take.
All right, Todd, a question from Nick Bronson. Should the Giants go with Isaiah Simmons or one of the offensive tackles?
listen, they need an offensive tackle, but they also need a linebacker. And Isaiah Simmons, to me, is today's NFL linebacker. Yes, he has to improve in terms of take-on skills and instincts versus the run, but this dude can play in the slot. He can cover, do that like overhang that you really need in today's NFL. He can play inside the box. He can play free safety. Watch that Ohio State tape. The 35 yards that he covers to go up and get the ball. I think he's special. He's going to continue to get better. And Simmons, to me, with Okuda and Derek Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, are the three best players, really, overall in this entire draft that are not quarterbacks.
All right, the Dolphins guys currently have three first-round draft picks. That's the most of any team in this year's draft in 2020. And in their most recent mock drafts, both of you have the Dolphins focusing on the offensive side of the ball, starting with drafting Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa with the fifth overall pick. Here is a Tua fan on the Dolphins as a potential destination.
Hey, Mel and Todd, it's Austin Winstead down here in Mobile, Alabama. Big fan of the program. Had a question for you. You think the Dolphins are going to still stick with Tua, or you think somebody else is going to trade up and get him? I know everybody's concerned about his health and him staying healthy, but we all know he can throw touchdown passes. As always, roll tide.
Roll tide, Mel. You going to take this one?
Yeah, I think Tua, obviously, if he's there, and he probably right now, when you look at the injury situation, will be. If he is, do they take him? You hear rumblings about Justin Herbert. Todd will be screaming about that, but it's out there in the rumor mill. We don't know what they're going to do in terms of that. But if I'm the Vikings, I'm taking Tua. He's there because of the injury. If it had not been for the injury, Miami would have had to trade up and give up some of those draft picks, Todd, to get him because of the injury. He's there. I have Tua right ahead of Herbert.
Who are you talking to? I need to know who you're talking to.
I would take Tua.
I'm not screaming. I'm very calm. But I need to know who you're talking to. I have no idea who in the world you would be talking to, unless it's purely medical, that Tua Tagovailoa is not going to be
Todd,
the second quarterback taken.
You can't ignore
the medical. I can't even imagine. Okay. But I can't ignore Justin Herbert's tape. I would much rather take Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback, because he has the potential, if I have a quarterback coach, a head coach, and the opportunity to develop someone, he's going to be a better quarterback than Justin Herbert in 5 years. So I would rather take Love than Herbert, but it wouldn't, unless it was completely medical, where my staff came to me and said, he's off the board, then I don't... It blows my mind that you're even talking about it. But I still love you.
I have nothing else to offer, Wendy. I mean, there's no other way to go. Justin Herbert has nailed the process. He was a better quarterback on the field in Mobile than Jordan Love was. He was the MVP of the game, a game Love played in. He had a great combine, great pro day. He had a good season. He's not perfect, but neither is Love's tape, Todd. Love's tape is not perfect as well.
All right, guys.
But you're talking about Tua now.
Because of the medical, not because of the quarterback. He is fragile. He's had injuries. Now we're talking about the NFL. That's the reason why Justin Herbert, who has been clean through the process, has great physical athletic ability, super intelligent, had a good year, really good year, and great process. When you talk about what happened after the season, after he got out of Oregon and went to the Senior Bowl, then the Combine, then the Pro Day, I don't know how you can't believe that Justin Herbert is going to go very high in the draft. I mean, I have questions about Herbert, but the league, there are people in the league that love Justin Herbert. I can't believe you don't understand that.
Breathe, Mel. Breathe. Breathe.
Got me going already, Wendy.
All right, Todd, you done? Are we agreeing to disagree? Are we stopping here?
I'm good. Agree to disagree, yep.
All right, agree. See? I like it, fellas.
But Tua's ridiculous. You can't say Herbert ahead of Tua. But now I'm done.
Okay, now you're done. All right, listen, we're just getting warmed up. Send us some more questions on Twitter via hashtag AskMelAndTodd. I can't promise you they'll agree, but they will answer questions. Next on our SportsCenter special, with the Bucks unveiling their new jerseys today, see what our guys think Tampa Bay needs to do with their first-round pick to make them the favorites in the NFC. And later, Justin Jefferson joins the show to talk about playing for LSU and how he's been preparing for the NFL draft. All right, fellas, time for some speed reads, rapid-fire questions. How about this one, Mel? We'll start with you from Terrence Campbell. If Isaiah Simmons still available at 7, do you see the Panthers taking him instead of Derrick Brown?
Both have a very similar grade. It depends upon what they need more, and that's defensive tackle Derrick Brown, a real disruptor along the interior. Great attitude, great kid. It would probably be Derrick Brown slightly, but they both have, a very similar grade.
All right, Todd, a question from Avi. Which offensive line prospect best fits Cliff Kingsbury's offense for Arizona to take it 8 overall?
Yeah, I would go with Tristan Wirfs, but from Iowa. He's mobile. He does exactly what they want in terms of their zone blocking scheme. Jedrick Wills, in my opinion, coming out of Alabama, is a better offensive lineman, but I think Wirfs out of Iowa is going to be more pro-ready and might be able to even kick inside the guard.
All right, Todd, one more from you. This one from Matthew Pearl. As new Jets GM Joe Douglas, who would be the first player you tie your name to at 11?
He wants to make an impact. He wants everyone in the organization to know that he's going to have a player that is going to be tough and physical and do all the right things. I think it's going to be an offensive lineman, but if the 4 offensive tackles go off the board before the top 10 picks, then it could be Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver from Alabama. It's either a receiver or an offensive tackle, if I'm guessing.
All right, Mel, a question from Ray Bryce. Who would the Raiders prefer out of these 3, Jeudy, Lamb, or Ruggs?
You know, I look at what John Gruden always wanted in a Raider. You think about Cliff Branch. I go to Henry Ruggs III, but at 4.25, 4.27 speed, he was consistent catching the ball. Very rare do you get a speed merchant who does catch the football and is natural catching it. I would think Henry Ruggs III if they think a receiver over a quarterback like Jordan Love from Utah State.
All right, Todd, Kevin asks, will the Colts draft a quarterback this year?
I don't think so. I think they're going to go with edge players. I think they want some more receivers. I think they want defensive ends. I think they want pass rushers, guys that can actually get after the quarterback. And maybe next year they'll address the quarterback position moving forward. But I don't think in the first round you're going to see a quarterback taken by the Colts.
All right, the Bucs, if you missed it, along with their new quarterback, Tom Brady, revealed their new jerseys today. No creamsicle, just a simplified look, if you will. Here's a Bucs fan with a draft question of his own.
Mel, Todd, it's Robert from New Jersey. With the Bucs' newly acquired Hall of Fame quarterback, with the 14th pick, do they protect Brady at all costs, or do they load up on the secondary to help out their team? Let me know what you think. Go Bucs.
All right, Mel.
Yep.
Go ahead. Robert,
I would go offensive line. It's tough to pass up. Obviously, you're talking about defensive players, a running back like DeAndre Swift, the future quarterback, maybe heir apparent. But Andrew Thomas from Georgia, left tackle, very solid film evaluation grades, and Jedrick Wills from Alabama, if you were there. One of those tackles, I think, becomes a Buccaneer.
All right, we take a look at the safeties in this year's draft class, and both of you have the same 3 players in the top 3. Mel, though, your top safety, Antoine Winfield Jr. He led Minnesota with 7 picks. Todd likes Alabama's Xavier McKinney. Here is Xavier with a question.
What's up, Mel and Todd? This is Xavier McKinney, and I got a question for the both of you. So I've watched a lot of safeties in this year's draft. And so for Mel, I just want to ask, how am I not the number 1 safety in this year's draft based solely off of film, nothing else, just film? And for Todd, I want you to please explain to Mel why I am the number 1 safety in the draft based solely off of film, because film never lies, ever.
This man doesn't need an agent,
question.
Mel.
It's a great question, Xavier.
He's the best pure safety. Antoine Winfield is a slot corner slash safety with more versatility. Ran 4.45. Xavier ran 4.63. But as a pure safety, Xavier McKinney is number 1 on my board. But as the versatile guy who can do a lot of things and wear a lot of hats, it will be Antoine Winfield Jr. Both are going to go in that 20 to 25, 20 to 28 range.
I'll tell you what, Mel. You were on Winfield earlier, and I admit it. I hadn't watched the Minnesota tape, but my goodness, he's good. That Penn State game, like that first drive, the ability to get off of a block and then make the tackle and then turn, run, and go up and get the ball. I mean, he's special. There's no question. But he's not McKinney. I mean, McKinney, to me, is like the difference maker in terms of the safety position this year. Now, Grant Delpit coming in from LSU was, I thought, was going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. But these other two players, Winfield, I agree with you, but also McKinney have outplayed him, and I think they're going to both be somewhere in that top 20. I think Delpit's going to be a little bit later in the first, if not early in the second round.
Mel, let me ask you this. Where's the best fit for McKinney?
I think you look at a teams like anywhere in that Jacksonville area. You look at certainly New England, Miami, anybody like that for Xavier McKinney. You guys like say, when you look at the tackle production, he gets sacks, intercepts passes. He is a heck of a football player, 4'6", 3". He plays a lot faster than that. But I think Winfield is a guy with versatility and certainly great bloodlines with his father. But I look at Xavier McKinney as a guy who could be certainly a Pro Bowl caliber player, will be a first round pick the way it looks right now. I think people now, when you go back, and as Xavier said, the tape does not lie. He's a heck of a football player. And like I said, in that, I'd say 17 to maybe late first round range. Some
I
like
love
him a little more
than others.
There's some that think he's
I
one of the best.
I love the
10
fact that he's watched the tape, Mel, and he's saying to you, hey, I love Winfield. That's great, but I'm better. I love that. Like that's what he brings. If you talk to anyone at Alabama, if you sit down with Nick Saban, he's going to tell you, like, the leader of the defense in a really good defense and a defense that we've had so much pride in, this is the alpha dog of our defense. And McKinney, he has no qualms about it. I love that fact. And you need that from a safety. You need a tackler and you need a leader, and he's both things.
All right, fella. What do you say? Tape never lies? Tape never lies.
Sure does. Eye in the sky never lies.
Eye in the sky never lies. Well said, Mel.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Let's stick with the wideouts here as we continue with a few more speed reads. Todd, question from GM Wannabe. At this point, he says, I'd be surprised if Ruggs wasn't the first wide receiver off the board. What's the highest you could see him going?
I think somewhere in the top 15. I mean, he's the most explosive. He's the fastest of all these wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy's a better route runner, his teammate from Alabama. You look at some of the other wide receivers, they can do a bunch of different things, but Ruggs is tough. He's physical, and I just love the way he approaches the game. And he didn't have a drop the entire last season.
All right, Mel, which wide receiver is the Terry McLaurin of this draft?
Antonio Gibson, Memphis. I think you look at a guy who could get lost in the shuffle a bit, so versatile, and I think you'll get the ability to run the football and get the ball in his hands that way, return kickoff, had a touchdown in that regard this year, and he improved as a receiver, 4'3", 940 at 6'5", almost 230 pounds. If you can get a guy like that, like Gibson in the third round with that versatility and that kind of talent, you got something.
All right, Todd, a question from Will Miller. Where do you see T. Higgins falling in the draft?
He could be the sixth wide receiver in the first round, probably early second. But if he is the sixth, then he's going to wind up. It's going to wind up being the best class that we've had, tied with the 2015 class in the last decade. But T. Higgins, to me, physical down the field, does a great job contested catches, and he ran a 4.58 in his pro day. Oh well, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, this from Choke, Mel. So many question marks on defense. Why is it so many mocks have Dallas taking a wide out?
Well, you saw that Eagle game at the end of last year when Amari Cooper was on the sidelines. You had Michael Gallup. You need that third guy. But I think they'll be gone. I think CeeDee Lamb will now be gone. I think you're looking at C.J. Henderson, cornerback out of Florida, fill a key need area with Byron Jones moving on to the Dolphins. Henderson, obviously, his coverage skills are outstanding. He needs to become a little more physical and tackle a little bit better. But I want pure talent for today's NFL. He's the cornerback, the cover man that the Dallas Cowboys made at 17.
All right, guys. LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson hauled in 111 receptions and 18 touchdowns last season. And that set an LSU single season record for receptions. And in his three seasons at LSU, Jefferson ranks fifth in career receptions, third in touchdown receptions, trailing only Dwayne Bowe and Brandon LaFell. And at this year's combine, he ran a 4.43, tied for the eighth fastest among wide receivers, the same time, by the way, as LSU great Odell Beckham Jr. And we're happy to have with us Justin Jefferson. And Justin, I'm going to let you talk to Mel and Todd, but first, let me ask a few things of you. And that's, what's this virtual pre-draft process been like? I mean, we talk about it, but you're living it and not being able to meet with teams in person.
Yeah, it's definitely a little difficult. And just, you know, doing all these different interviews over phone and everything, the whole process, it's pretty interesting. This is the first year that this ever had happened. So just buying into the process, just, you know, making sure these coaches know that I'm a smart player and, you know, I'm able to be that number one receiver for them.
Listen, the culmination of the draft process is hearing your name called, walk across that stage. That won't happen this time around. We will not be in Las Vegas. So what does that feel like?
It's definitely difficult. It's tough. You know, as a young boy, I always dreamed of walking across that stage and shaking the commissioner's hand. So it's tough to only do it from home, but it's just something that we have to settle for. And I mean, we're still getting drafted. So, I mean, I guess it's fine.
Well, that's the good news, right? This is just the very beginning of the next stage. And we do have Mel and Todd with us, Justin. So I'm going to hand it off to you and any questions you may have for them.
Definitely. One question would probably be just where you guys think I will be drafted at.
I'll go, Justin. I think you go anywhere between 19 to the Las Vegas Raiders, 21 Philadelphia, 22 Minnesota. I think one of those three teams, whether it's the Raiders, the Eagles, or the Vikings, ends up with Justin Jefferson.
Justin, I want to ask you a question. When you ran that 4.43 and you saw the time and you actually knew exactly what you ran, were you surprised or did you expect that?
I expected it. Going to training and just going to IMG, working with Mo Wells and the best of the best. So he trained me well to get that fast 40 time. And I knew that was the big question of the whole draft was how fast I was going to be. So making sure that that time was fast enough for me to be, you know, in a higher draft pick.
Justin, let me ask you this.
What was the difference between Joe Burrow, his first year and last year?
More time with each other, just being able to connect with each other more often and having a whole year under our belt and just putting in that extra work last season. We wanted that national championship. We knew that we had the right system and the right players to do so. So we definitely wanted to show the world, you know, what we can do, and Joe's a phenomenal quarterback.
All right, Justin, last chance. You got these guys here. I'm not sure that will happen again before the draft. Anything else?
I remember hearing you guys, you know, not knowing what 40 time I was going to get. Were you guys surprised at all?
Yeah, Justin, there's no question. The 4.43 in that area, we were thinking maybe in the 4.5s and you'd be falling into that late first round area. But when you run that 4.43, and what I want to ask you, Justin, is what was Joe Brady doing in terms of the receivers? We know what he meant for Joe Burrow. We know what Joe Brady meant for the offense. What impact did Joe Brady have on you, Justin, and those receivers at LSU?
He impacted everything. He changed the whole game, to be honest. He helped us out tremendously with catching ability, catching those contested balls, just everything, being in the right system. We fell in love with everything about him, about the plays he was running, just the whole deal. So definitely thanking him for putting me in this situation. And I definitely wouldn't be here talking to you guys right now if it wasn't for him.
Justin, how are you staying in shape?
And Justin, I'm going to be honest with you. Wendy, I'm cutting you off again.
That's
sorry.
That's all right.
Justin, I'm telling you. Mel and I were standing. I will never forget. Mel and I were standing there in Indy watching you run the 40. And we were both talking about how great you are in contested catches. And we were really looking forward legitimately to you running a good time. You ran a 4.43 and we were like, ooh, okay. And that's it. That's why you're here.
Yeah, right. You guys definitely didn't think I was going to run that passable 40 times. So just impressing you guys with that and just surprising the whole world running that fast. So everybody thought I was going to run a good 4.5 or a 4.6.
All right, Justin, we appreciate it. I'm surprised you didn't ask Todd what he runs the 40 in. You know, I mean, everybody's curious.
5.59, I think.
10.0. Okay, listen, Justin, we'll look forward to watching, and best of luck in the next few weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
In the last 25 years of the NFL draft, only two quarterbacks to be drafted in the fourth round or later have started a Super Bowl. Tom Brady has started an NFL record 9 different Super Bowls, and Matt Hasselbeck. Speaking of which, here is Matt Hasselbeck with a question.
Hey, Mel. Hey, Todd. Matt Hasselbeck here. Listen, we know Tom Brady picked 199 in the sixth round. I was picked 187 in the sixth round just a year before that. I want to know, in this year's draft class, who's the quarterback? Who's the guy, not a first rounder, but he's going to be a late rounder that's going to make an impact in the NFL?
All right, Todd, inquiring minds want to know. Start with you on that one.
I mean, leave it up to – are you serious? I'm going to find a sixth-round pick who's going to be Tom Brady? Sure.
Well, you don't have to say Tom Brady. You go with the spirit of the question, Todd.
I'm joking. Cole McDonald from Hawaii is interesting. He's got a long delivery, but when you watch his tape, and I just got finished with it 2 days ago, he's consistently accurate. He has great pocket presence. He moves around well. I think he has a chance as a backup and maybe eventually a starter, but I really think Cole McDonald from Hawaii is going to be one of the sleepers of this year's class.
Todd, I like James Morgan, a kid out of Florida International, 6'4", 230-pounder. And you look at the way he spins it, the way he can throw the football, the way he goes through progressions. And I look for an it factor, guy that has the ability to be a leader, that understands an offense, is coming in willing to work and do everything it takes to fit into an organization. I think James Morgan is a late-round pick out of Florida International. Nice quarterback prospect that could be a steal in the draft.
All right, we mentioned Tom Brady's departure. They also released Cody Kessler, and that leaves New England with just two quarterbacks on their roster, Jarrett Stidham and now Brian Hoyer. Only Hoyer has any starts in the league. He's gone just 16-22. Here's a Patriots fan with a question on their team's quarterback situation.
Hey, Mel and Todd. This is Jacob from Maine. I have a question for all Patriots fans. So, are we going to be drafting a quarterback to replace Brady? Are we going to be giving Jarrett Stidham a shot and see what he can do? Or is it still a possibility we swipe Cam Newton, someone like that, in free agency? Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mel, start with you. How do you see the Patriots quarterback situation playing out?
Thought they might, maybe think quarterback, but it's not going to fall that way because the quarterbacks are getting pushed up. Jordan Love's being moved up from there. Maybe the Raiders at 12. I would think Zach Bond, versatile linebacker out of Wisconsin, Xavier McKinney, the safety we talked about earlier and talked to us earlier from Alabama. So I think a defensive player, and then maybe look at the quarterback. Like I said, James Morgan, Todd mentioned Cole McDonald. Maybe they try to go that formula that the Patriots have used to get a quarterback late, maybe the way to go in this draft.
Yeah, my guess is that they're going to wind up bringing in either a rookie in the second to fourth round range. You know, a guy like Jake Fromm. I think Jake Fromm would fit exactly what they want in terms of someone who can come in and compete and maybe not win the job in his first year and maybe never be an elite player, but someone who's smart enough to pick up the system and will just do all the little things. But I also think Andy Dalton makes a lot of sense, too. I know in a trade situation, we're all assuming that the number one overall pick is going to be Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati. So maybe it's Dalton that goes to New England. But I don't see New England, even though they have 12 picks in the first round, packaging picks to move up to get one of these top four quarterbacks that we're talking about in the first round.
You know what, Todd, though, outside of the quarterback spot, it's not like they, you know, there's other needs for New England. You could look at the skill position players. What are your expectations overall for New England in the draft?
I think edge. They need defensive ends. They need wide receivers. They need those type of players. They need guys that can add speed and be better around the quarterback position. Again, they need a quarterback. They got to figure it out. And I like Stidham. I really do. And I know everyone's taking what I've said in the last couple days out of context. But Jarrett Stidham, to me, has the physical tools to become a good starter in the league. I just don't know that he's ready to do it right now. That's the big question. But what they need to do is put weapons around him, whether it's, you know, wide receiver and different kinds of wide receivers that they're used to having. They've always been a timing-based offense, but now they're going to have to adjust the things that they're doing offensively. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Bill Belichick and the staff has to do in terms of trying to adjust to whatever the quarterback situation is moving forward.
And they know Stidham better than anybody. They've had him. They know what he's capable of. And I would say you basically judge Stidham against these incoming quarterbacks in those early rounds. You mentioned Jake Fromm, Todd. If they think Fromm can be better than Stidham, they know that. They know what Stidham is. If they don't think that, they think we like Stidham better than a Fromm coming in a little further behind, obviously, in that curve. Then you wait until the later rounds and you address the defensive side. You mentioned receivers. I like Antonio Gandy-Gold, ran 4.6 at the combine, but all he did was produce at Liberty. And here's a kid who could get lost in the shuffle, K.J. Hill at Ohio State, another receiver who was productive. And then you look at the defensive guys I mentioned, like Zach Bond, who's that versatile linebacker. You mentioned edge ability coming off the edge as a pass rusher. He can do that. He's got that kind of Mike Vrabel kind of, you think about the guys they've had at linebacker in that situation there, Kyle Van Noy. That's what Zach Bond maybe could be.
All right, more speed reads. This time we'll stay at quarterback. And, Todd, I'll start with you. A question from Ryan Hall. Does Jalen Hurts have any chance to be drafted in the late first or early second round?
I'd say somewhere in the second round. I talked to guys in the league in the last couple weeks. I've been surprised. Some teams really like him in the second round. Some teams like him in the third, fourth round range. I know my opinion on him. I think he's a Taysom Hill type of player, but I think eventually he's going to wind up being a top 50, 60 type draft pick.
All right, Brunelli Sports asks Mel, who is your favorite prospect in this class?
I think a fun guy to watch, and it's always fun. We had mentioned offensive linemen. Watch in the trenches, Mekhi Becton. He just manhandles people. He's got that mean streak. He's the dancing bear. 6'6 and a quarter, 364 pounds. Todd talked to the vet Justin Jefferson, the 40 he ran. Todd and I were sitting there wondering what the heck's going on when he runs a 5'1", 040 at that size. Pretty amazing, Mekhi Becton from Louisville.
All right, Todd from Bobby. Do you see Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Ryan staying at his position or moving to linebacker?
I really do see him at safety. I think he's a strong safety type. You can move him in the box. You look at Muse from Clemson, number 19. You watch him inside the box. He's more of a will linebacker. Every GM I talk to is going to be in there. But Duggar, to me, is fast. He's got the 4.4 speed. I think he's going to be a free safety.
All right, Mel, which position group isn't deep in this class, and could it cause teams to reach?
Well, it's about reaching. It's a crazy position. We thought Jarrett Pinkney Vanderbilt would be the top guy, and he wasn't productive. And he ran a slow 40 time at the combine. It's really, I think, Cole Kmet, Notre Dame. The way he came on coming back from the injury, great against Georgia. Good athlete, baseball player, pitcher at Notre Dame as well. Like Cole Kmet in the second round. Like Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic, Adam Troutman, Dayton. But there's a lot of mixed opinion on these tight ends. Some like guys in the second, third round. Others think they're very overrated. So tight end, you got to pick the right guy at that spot.
All right, switching gears. Colorado's Laviska Shenault has been one of the most dynamic wideouts in the Pac-12 in the last two seasons. His 75% catch rate, second among Pac-12 wide receivers. He has the most yards after catch. Here's Shenault with the question.
Shenault Jr., and I play a receiver at University of Colorado. And these questions I have today are for Mel and Todd. Based on my personality, what NFL city do you see me fitting in? And the last question is, where do you see me in 10 years?
Ooh, the double barrel question. Todd, you going to take this first, the best fit for Shenault?
I think he's a good fit somewhere in that second round range, right? What he does best is provide versatility. You can use him as a running back. You can put him in the slot. You can put him out wide. I love, like, watching his game on tape and then seeing him live, how physical he is, the ability to do a lot of different things and catch the ball in traffic and then create after the catch is what I like about him. Now, he doesn't have great speed, and some teams are frustrated about the fact that he doesn't run a 4.4, but I think Shenault is going to wind up being a day two pick who winds up in the league for a long time and is very, very productive.
All right, and I think we have a new question since we've been doing this in real time. This next question from Brandon Ayuk. Mel, what can you tell us about that?
Brandon Ayuk, I think, would make sense for the Green Bay Packers in the late first round. They need a wide receiver desperately. One of those receivers, whether it's Ayuk, maybe Chase Claypool, but he's not as consistent as Ayuk was catching the ball. I think Ayuk from Arizona State ran 4.5, vertical to over 40, had a heck of a year. He's got return skills as well. Green Bay needs a weapon to help out Devontae Adams for Aaron Rodgers. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State maybe could be that guy in the late first round.
All right, Mel, and Ayuk reportedly had a core muscle surgery today, but should be ready. So we'll continue to watch that. Thank you, fellas.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Hi, Mel and Todd. This is Hayden Butler in Las Vegas, Nevada. What's more important when you evaluate a player, how talented they are or how good of a Raiders teammate they will be? Thank you.
All right, Todd McShay, answer this young man's question. What do you think about the Raiders here?
I think the Raiders need a wide receiver. You know, is Jerry Jeudy from Alabama available? Are we going back to old school Al Davis and going speed 4.27 from Henry Ruggs, the other Alabama wide receiver? I think it's going to be wide receiver, or it could be offensive lineman, but I think they want speed with that first pick at 12.
All right, fair enough. Auburn defensive tackle Derrick Brown, one of the top defensive players in the draft, not named Chase Young. Our former SEC defensive lineman Marcus Spears with a question on Brown.
Todd, Mel, what's up, fellas? It's the Big Swagoo. I got a question, though. I want to know why Derrick Brown hasn't been the focus of one of these conversations going into the draft. Is it because he's over 300 pounds or he a D-tackle? The dude is dominant. He's a beast. I watched him in the Southeastern Conference all year long. Man, talk about Derrick Brown and how good he going to be on the next level for me, please, for the 300s and over. Peace, fellas. Thanks.
We love you, Swagoo. All right, Mel, give the man some love. Tell me about Derrick Brown.
Averaged 10 tackles for loss over the last 3 years, and they look about sack totals. What did he create for those other guys like Marlon Davidson and company? And hustles. He's got tremendous ability to be, as Todd mentioned, Xavier McKinney as that leader. That's what Derrick Brown is. We watch him moving around, even on the field at the combine. He just kind of takes over. He has that special presence, loves the game, went back for his senior year for the right reasons, got better technically. No, the only reason we're not talking more about him is because we always talk quarterbacks. And there's a lot of those quarterbacks up there we're talking about. And then Okuda, the cornerback, Ohio State, and Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson. But he's right in there with Simmons. As I said earlier in the show, in terms of grade in this draft, he is right there to be a top five, top seven pick overall.
I mean, he's so special, man. I mean, you watch him, and I love our ESPN stats and info group. When you look at him at the nose tackle position, he had 13% in terms of pressures from the nose tackle spot, which was higher than anyone else in the country. Derrick Brown with Okuda, as you mentioned, and Isaiah Simmons. I love the quarterbacks, but these defensive players really rule this draft.
All right, Marcus, I hope you're listening, big fella. All right, speaking of big fellas, how about this guy, Field Yates? Big neck and all, played college football, Division III at Wesleyan right here in Connecticut. And Field has a question.
What's up, Mel and Todd? Field Yates here, coming to you from Division III Draft Prep Headquarters. You know, I went to Wesleyan University, and a lot of people that have dove in on the 2020 class know about Ben Bartsch, the offensive lineman who it really has a chance to be probably a longtime NFL player. But besides Bartsch, is there any other small school prospect, whether it's a D2, a D3 guy that maybe we aren't talking about enough, who could be an instant impact player or at least have a 5-plus-year career? Looking forward to hear what you guys have to say.
All right, Todd, small school potential gem, please.
Field lives like 3 blocks away. I can look. I can hit a probably a driver. Unfortunately, it should be a 9-iron, but it's like a driver down there. I'm going to go with Charlie Tumopea, and I'm sure Mel's going to tell me that I'm pronouncing it wrong. But the tight end coming out the ability out of Portland State, Division I AA, we call it FCS, whatever you want to call it, but this guy at 245 pounds running in the 4.7s and the ability to block, I really like him. And I can't say his last name again. That's it.
No, you don't only have to. And I'm sure you left out my Wofford Terriers because there's just too many, and that's fine. We'll get him next time. All right, how will this draft be different in terms of strategy because of the unique situation we're in? Mel, this may be the most important question of them all. Does it allow GM's plans or does it change them in any way? All 32 teams have the same challenges.
Going to be interesting to see what trades, how trades are worked out. Obviously, not having the pro days has impacted the guys who were not at the combine that normally would be in that third, fourth, fifth round discussion. How did teams evaluate those guys? It's going to be interesting to see how many of those guys actually come off the board come late April.
GMs that I've talked to are most concerned about what they're going to do draft weekend. They want all of their information in front of them. They want the six screens, but they're worried about, quote unquote, the bandwidth that we've been talking about. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think trades are going to be the most important part. And what I'm told is they're going to do a lot of text messaging compared to what you usually would do with emails and phone calls.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you soon.